We're familiar with King David, and this was before he was king, before he was crowned king. And we know that David had gone, we can just tell the story, that Saul was having nightmares. He was losing his mind, having some psychiatric and emotional and spiritual problems. And he brought David in, and David played the harp. And it calmed him, and that was good. The right kind of music will calm you. And so David actually moved in and lived with Jonathan and Saul and became Jonathan's best friend. But Saul got jealous and ran David off. And David left. And as he fled from Saul, he went to Achish. He joined himself unto Achish in Gath. And if you recall, that's the area where the giants are. And Achish gave David a town called Ziklag, and that became his town. And we see in chapter 22 and verse 2, it says that there were about 400 men. Let's read it, 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2. Everyone that was in distress, was in debt, was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So David attracted people who were in need, didn't he? He just attracted people who were struggling through life. And 400 men, and so that doesn't even include if their wives or children, if they had them, came with them. And so Ziklag became David's town. And he was the leader in all these people. It was not the type of town, you know, based on these people that we would necessarily want to raise our kids in, because these people didn't have good reputations. They were, you know, kind of rough, and they were desperate types. But they had gathered to David, and then Achish, the king, he really liked David. And he said, David, everywhere I go, I want you with me. If I go to battle, I want you to go. Well, it came time to go to battle. And this is in that region they call Philistia. And David took his men. By the way, it grew from 400 to 600 men. And so he's got 600 men with him. And they joined the battle. They joined the march to go to battle. And the Philistines say, why are there Jews in line? Why do we have Hebrews with us? We don't want them here. And they went to Achish, and they say, he's got to go. And Achish says, no, he's with us. He's loyal to us, and he'll do whatever we do. No, we don't want him. He's a spy for Israel. We don't want him. Get him out of here. So David's been kicked out from Saul's house where he grew up, and he's been now rejected by the people who he was going to go help in battle. And that's what chapter 29 tells us. Now we go to chapter 30. It came to pass when he's kicked out from there. So he says, well, I'm just going to go home. And he takes his 600 men and he goes home. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So now, as David comes home, he's got no home to go home to. It's been destroyed. It's been ravaged. It's been burned. Verse 2, they had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So they have taken, they've kidnapped everyone that lived there. So wives and children. And so these 600 men that were with David, his warriors, his soldiers, they see what's happened, and who do they blame? The Amalekites? They didn't blame the Amalekites, they blamed David. Well, David, we went with you. This was your idea to take us away from the town, and all the men went with you and left nobody to defend the city. Verse 3, David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You been there? Devastated. Just bankrupt emotionally. It's all gone. Like they just don't know. They're numb. They don't know what to feel. They don't know how to feel. They wept until they could weep no more. Verse 5, David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. You remember Abigail. In chapter 30, verse 6, David was greatly distressed. Well, how could he not be? He's lost everything. As he looks back on this trail, this journey that's brought him to where he is, there's heartbreak. There's discouragement. There's disruption. There's rejection. And it says he's greatly distressed because here's the final point. The 600 men that gathered themselves to David. David was an equalizer. He was a balancer. Man, people wanted to be around him because they felt better around him. They felt more balanced and more sober, stronger and more personal. And these 600 men who were so in love and enamored and adored David so much, now they say, let's stone him. They contemplated stoning him, it says in verse 6. The people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Right? The grief and then the what? The anger. We have those stages of grief. And you have denial and now they're in the anger stage and the blame stage. Let's blame somebody for this. And could they take responsibility? Because I don't remember saying that David drug them to battle. They went on their own. But they had to blame somebody to blame David. We don't have to blame anybody. We need to take responsibility. They grieved everyone for his sons and for his daughters. And here it is in verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Isn't that great? David. We know who he is. Encouraged. What does that mean? It means that he brought some strength back. He brought some hope back, some courage back. It was all gone, but he brought it back. How did he bring it back? Where did he find it? Well, he encouraged himself. He didn't wait for some coach to come along or some motivational speaker or some pastor or preacher or a family member or one of his guys to say, hey, David, it's not that bad. He didn't wait for anybody else to do it. He encouraged himself. Three words in the Lord. How did he encourage himself? Did he look in the mirror and say, I'm okay. You're okay. Right? You're worth it. You're a big boy. You're smart. You're good looking. What did he didn't do that. No, what did he do? I believe what he did. I believe we find how David encouraged himself. It says it here. It's not the only time it happened. And I know that because David was a psalmist. What did he say to encourage himself? Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? Is that what he said? You make me to lie down in green pastures. Lead me beside the still waters. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Is that what he said? Did he say, you know, as he thought about those different things, I mean, the Psalms are things that came out of his heart, of course, by the anointing. But are those the things he said? Is that not a way that we could encourage ourselves? By songs and by Psalms? By quoting scripture, by remembering? David looked back on his life and he said, you delivered me back then. You got me through that. There were battles that we don't know the intricacies of those battles and how they were won. We just know that David killed his tens of thousands. But God was there with David, and David recalls the time that God brought him through, that God prospered him, that God gave him the victory, that God gave him the strength. And then he comes to his house, and his house is burned, the city's burned. Maybe there's some smoke going up in the air. All the people are gone. There's nobody there. Everything's gone. And the men are angry with him and they're going to kill him and he better come up with something quickly. And his heart goes to God and he encourages himself in the Lord, in his faith. You see, courage and happiness and joy and revival doesn't come by winning the lottery. It doesn't come by just the joy of the fellowship. And I love the fellowship, but it comes by our prayer time and our communion with God, our personal time with God. That's what we need. That's what brings revival. That's what brings us strength. That's what brings each of us. And then when all of us are together, it brings all of us closer to God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He looked to God. He remembered God's goodness. He prayed. Verse number 8, David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop?" What's the question? Is there any hope? He loves his wife. I know he's got two. I know he loves at least one of them. He loves his wives. He loves his men. His men love their wives, and they're weeping over their sons and their daughters. They want their families back. And David goes to God and says, "God, what can I tell them? Is there hope? Shall we pursue after them? Is it worth it, or is it hopeless?" That's the question. Shall I pursue after them? Shall I pursue after this troop? And if I run after them, will I even catch them? Shall I overtake them? Will we win? Is there hope? God said, "Pursue." Pursue. That's his answer. Pursue. Go. Get after it. "Thou shalt surely overtake them." And then here's the great part. "And without fail, recover all." You're going to get it all back, David. You're going to get them all back. Yeah, you're going to have to rebuild. Guys, when the big ones hit us, we have to take time to recover. We have to understand. In all of our hope and all of our prayer and all of our faith, we have to understand there's a process. When we got saved, we didn't know much about God. Brother Simon said, "I grew up in a Christian home. Didn't make me a Christian, but I understood some stuff about God." When we get saved, we don't know much about God. We start learning. We get in the Word. We study the Bible. We go to church. We sit in class. We listen. We follow along in the Word, and we outline, and we make notes, and we underline. And then, you know, down the road, we're smarter because we had a process. David will pursue, and David will overtake, and David will recover. And then he'll still have to come home and rebuild. He'll still have to rebuild. There's still work ahead. There's still a process ahead. You know, just because you got saved doesn't mean all the troubles go away. There's still work to do. There's still learning to do. There's still an example to be before the people. So we encourage ourselves in the Lord, our Creator. He planned us. He designed us. He loved us. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And he loves us and wants us to prosper in him, to thrive in his companionship and his communion. And that's what we need. He encouraged himself in the Lord. If you have missed your prayer time today, then you are on your way to losing your courage. But if you will have prayer time, you will gain that courage in the Lord. I've told you before, when I pray, it just feels like I just feel so powerful, so strong, like a giant. I know I haven't grown. I know nothing's changed on the outside. But spiritually, that strength is built up, and I'm encouraged, and I'm able. With all of the, look, getting kicked out, being chased by Saul, fleeing from Saul, establishing himself in another place, gathering a bunch of people, by the way, that needed his help, that needed his leadership. He still had to teach them. He still had to lead them and coach them. And then being kicked out of that group too, coming home as everything's burned, all of his people are gone. I mean, it just, You know, we say the hits just keep on coming. God, when is this going to stop? But he didn't say that, did he? He encouraged himself in the Lord and said, Lord, is it worth going after him? And God said, go. Go get him, David. Go get your stuff back. Go get your people back. But there was still work ahead. That's the part we have to remember. It's not a jackpot. Oh, I never have to work again. No, you got your people back, but you got to come back and rebuild your house and rebuild the fences around the city. It never ends. We've got to keep growing and keep working and keep going. We must be prepared to do that with faith. Let's stand. God, we love you. We thank you for your grace and your power, your love. We thank you for your word, the time that we've had here tonight together. And I pray that you will use us this week to make a difference. Especially, we again lift up those who are grieving and hurting, and those who just don't have the answers. We pray that you would encourage them in the Lord, that you would strengthen them. And we pray, God, that you will show us how to be good ministers. Dismiss us now with your grace and bring us back again. In Jesus' name, amen.